Isn't it time that you were visible?
In this episode, we're going to talk about how to go from a physical business to an online business, what visibility actually means, what the best social media network is and the best way to use it, why you need to get started on video ASAP to build the know, like, and trust factor, and how to get seen in logos onto your website. Let's get into it. Hey, 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 Amanda Ross here, and this is where you should be if you are a service-based woman onlinepreneur working hard to build a creative digital brand. So great to have you here, and you are going to have fun listening to this episode all about brand visibility. Katie Colella and I connected through a Facebook group where I saw her helping out other women, and I just knew right away that I needed to pick her brain as soon as I could and get her on this podcast. Her story of building a successful business that was thriving so much that they even opened another location, to shutting it down completely all so that she could focus on an online business instead, is incredibly intriguing and so inspiring. Not many people would take such a risk, but she did, and she has loved every minute of it. She now works with women business owners as a business mentor and a visibility coach. She knows how much it matters to be seen and to build a brand that people feel connected to. Her tips in this episode are fantastical, darlings. Plus, she is so fun and is wonderfully good at storytelling. Just listen to see what I mean. But before we get there, I want to remind you that there is a kick-ass Facebook group called B-Snaps, which we are having so much fun over there. It is so awesome. Everyone is just sharing knowledge and helping each other out. It's so fantastic. I'm learning so much. I hope they're learning so much. We do lives. We do brainstorming. It's super cool. Definitely come over and check us out. The link is in the show notes, or just remember B-Snaps, baby, on Facebook. Okay, at the end of this episode, I am going to share 3 ways that you can generate content ideas so that you're always ready to blog, record a video, or write an article. So don't miss that at the end of the episode. All right, let's get into visibility with Katie. So guys, I'm so excited. Today we have Katie Colella. She is on the other side of the world in Wales. Am I right? You're in Wales?
Yes, correct.
Yes, okay. When we were just talking, you said you were going to Wales, and I thought, wait a second, I'm confused. Okay, so yes,
I am. I'm in South Wales, but I'm just going a little bit further west at the weekend.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay, you confused me there. So she is a business mentor, and she helps people sort of with visibility. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to be seen sort of in this world of noise where there's so much going on. How do you become someone that gets noticed? So Katie, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, Katie, tell me the whole thing. Give me the story. Give me the scoop. How did you get here? Tell me all the things.
Okay, so business-wise, started off in the world of business at 18. Left school and didn't want to go on to university. There was just nothing kind of that jumped out at me back in the day that kind of made me think, yeah, that's what I want to do. So I did a job for 6 months and then had the opportunity to become a business owner, which was a little sandwich bar close to me. So jumped at that opportunity and bought the business and jumped in 2 feet and run that for 3 years. So that was my first kind of learning curve.
This was a sandwich bar. So this is like a physical location.
Yeah. Literally a little shop, which was tiny, so it could only ever kind of grow so much. So I also started a catering business on the back of that, that I just did like children's parties on the weekends and things. It did grow to 2 shops at one stage.
Wow.
So I was trying to do an awful lot for my 20-year-old, but I was literally kind of running the one shop, running back and forth to the second shop, back to the first shop to do this bit, get back to the second shop to do this bit, deliveries and so forth. So it was quite a full-on time, but running the second shop was only for 3 or 4 months as a kind of trial period. But my accountant kind of made out, well, he looked into the figures and unfortunately it wasn't financially viable to continue. So we went back to the one shop, which was definitely for the best. I don't think I could continue doing the two long term. It was a bit too full on, because at the time I was a real control freak as well, trying to do everything myself.
Are women control freaks? No.
I know, it's just a female thing. It's a women in business thing. And it took me until my last business, I'm 37 now, and that was, you know, back then. And it took me until my last business to kind of realize how powerful it is to actually outsource and actually ask for help. And it's actually okay to relinquish some of that control. So yeah, that was definitely something I learned later on in business. So yeah, there's a top tip for everybody. Yeah, it's okay to ask for help. But yes, yeah, so that was my first business. And after that, I sewed up after 3 years when I was 21. And that business is still going, which is lovely. And then my second business was a guest house, which my husband and I were on holiday. And it was, we were just boyfriend and girlfriend at the time. And we were talking about being in business. And my husband had also had previous businesses before we had got together. So we were discussing ways to start a business that was going to be a whole lifestyle change, because he already had three children and we were planning on having children. So it was, what can we do that is just going to be the perfect kind of idyllic lifestyle? And we happened upon guest house. So we came back to the UK after being in Portugal for a couple of weeks, did a load of research, went and put some crazy offers in some huge houses, had one of them accepted. And 3-4 months later, we were walking into this huge house that hadn't been an existing guest house. It was just a massive house. And we just thought, oh my goodness, what on earth have we done? And it was, yeah, that was one of those decisions I think I made. I was pregnant. Oh, in the meantime, I got caught pregnant as well. So we walked in, I was pregnant. I was having some health issues with the pregnancy, and we had to have this full renovation. And then we took a book in that was for the whole guest house for 3 months later. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah. It sounds a lot crazier now than at the time. I just think we were winging it, and we were just, you know, going as long as you did. And we literally put in the en-suites and renovated the whole place. And like I said, was ready by the skin of our teeth for our booking, our first booking. So, I mean, that was a lot of visibility as well back in that day. But again, it was a very different, it was offline business. So it was very different to the world we live in now, where, you know, a lot of businesses are obviously online. And kind of a lot more service based and so forth. So I've kind of done lots of different businesses, online service product, all of it really. So that was the last business, and that was sold after 5 years and another child later, or the two altogether. So that was kind of full on, because it was a lot less idyllic than we kind of thought it was going to be when we started. It was so hard work, you know, trying to keep the children quiet and their teeth in, and being toddlers and just doing what kids do. And you know, when you've got guests in, it was quite full on. And it wasn't very idyllic. It was just like we were sharing our life with all these strangers. There was nice parts to it, but it served its purpose, obviously, and it taught us a lot. But I wouldn't go running back to doing that kind of business again, personally. So we kind of sold that one up. And at that stage, we were thinking, right, okay, at this stage, I had no desire to go back to employment. I was going to be staying self-employed, but we didn't know what to do. So we took a few months out, and I did a lot of research in what to do. We knew it'd have to be online. It was very much, yes, it's going to be online based. And social media was just starting to kind of take off at that stage, I guess. And I decided on home and giftware, because it was something I was quite passionate about. I enjoyed it. I liked kind of all the pretty bits and pieces. So literally took a small amount of money and bought some wholesale stock and started selling purely to start with through Facebook. Literally just started a page. Literally the first 1,000, obviously, you know, it was difficult to get to the first 1,000 followers, but just through initially organically and growing growing the stock that we had, and then the sales, started a website on the back end as well, and started trying to drive traffic across to there, and that grew quite substantially, and I ended up having a real big following on Facebook. I think it was 144,000 followers at the end.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know it was a different world, in all honesty, because it has evolved and grown, and I do think it's probably harder in this day and age to do that. And the organic reach at the time, I remember reaching 16% of my audience. I remember thinking, oh, what a nightmare, how low. But, you know, we would give 16%. We'd give anything to reach 16% organically in this day and age, because it's difficult, you know, to even reach a couple of percent. So I'd give anything for 16%. But that's where I started getting into Facebook ads and so forth. And I went to university for the first time. to do a foundation degree in social media. So that was where I started getting into social media and digital marketing, I guess, on the whole of, you know, how to grow the business through using all these new tools that at the time were, you know, fairly new. So that was the last business, and I literally ate, slept, breathed this business. It was my baby. It was started from scratch on my kitchen table, grew quite substantially, and it was quite a successful business. But one day I just woke up and I had fallen out of love with it, and I'd lost my mojo and just felt completely different about it. So decided that I was going to sell.
Wow.
It was quite life-changing at the time, because, like I said, it literally was my baby. So I decided to sell, popped it on a for sale site in the UK, and I was very lucky. I had about 40 inquiries, and the first two people that came to view both were interested in buying, and the first person to put an offer in, I accepted, and that was that. And I just kind of said, well, yeah, that's fine, but I want it all done in the month. So we pushed for it, and the due diligence was done, and she came and shadowed me a lot and learned as much as she could about the business. And then we agreed on a few months where I was still involved in the business to kind of share all the knowledge and, you know, that I had learned in my head, to share all that with her over the following few months. So yeah, that was 2 years ago. And then from there, I wanted something that I could do. I suppose I'd always, like I said to you, I'd always been this control freak, and it's only that last business that I'd started realizing how powerful it was to ask for help and outsource and all the rest of it. So I decided that I couldn't be the only person in business that was struggling with trying to do everything themselves, but outsourcing somebody, you know, that they could trust. So I started a VA business, just so I could be that person, because I'd realized, obviously, I'd learned all these skills and knowledge without really realizing it, having to do it all for myself. So decided to start doing VA, which I really enjoyed, but that naturally evolved into mentoring, because I realized I had a lot of knowledge that I could actually help people with, and I was naturally kind of mentoring a lot of my clients without realizing it for a long time. So that kind of happens quite organically. And that's really where I'm at now, being mentoring, I suppose, getting on for nearly a year. Absolutely love it. And I'm quite hands-on. I'm quite, let's jump on a call, let's screen share, and let's show you the how and the why. And I like kind of workshop environments and showing people how to do things. So
nice.
That's a very long-winded version.
Yeah. That's okay. No worries. Amazing. So you consider yourself more of a business mentor today than yes. Actually a VA though, yeah?
Definitely. I don't have any, I still help one client out on a VA basis. Other than that now, I don't take on VA clients. I just work with people who, you know, need help getting from where they are to where they want to be. A lot of the times filling in that tech kind of gap for them. And a lot of it is visibility, because a lot of people do struggle with how to remain visible.
Yeah. So talk to me about visibility. What does that actually mean when you say visibility?
So for me, it's just getting in front of people and the right people, getting on people's radar, you know, getting in front of your own audience and growing your own audience as well, but also utilizing other people's audiences and showing up and being consistent with it, because you can't be visible inconsistently. You know, you are your brand, and especially kind of service based. And in order to be visible, you need to keep showing up daily, and you need to be in front of people where they can see you, on their radar, crossing paths with people and building the connections, because you never know the connections you're building. I know the connections that I started building 2 years ago, I'm still, you know, on speaking terms to a lot of those connections, and a lot of people, and it's kind of coming to fruition now, a lot of the initial kind of networking connections that I made. So people have been seeing me pop up in this group and that group and on my own Facebook pages and so forth and Instagram. And all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, I know what Katie does. So I'm going to ask Katie to be a feature on this. I'm going to ask her to talk to my audience about this. So all these opportunities are basically arising because I've maintained my visibility consistently over the course of those couple of years.
When you talk to them about this, do you help them sort of figure out where those best places are? Like, do they have to be on every social network? Do they have to focus on three? Like, how do you decide that?
I think a lot of it comes down to, it has to be your audiences at the end of the day. I mean, if there's no point being on LinkedIn if that's not where your audience are going to be hanging out. So a lot of work has to be done in terms of finding your ideal client, or knowing your ideal client and knowing where they are and knowing where they hang out. I don't recommend being on every social media platform personally, because I think you just spread yourself too thinly. So I do recommend focusing on a couple at a time. Personally, every client pretty much, I think, has to have a Facebook presence. And again, it's opinion based, maybe not everyone would agree, but for me, Facebook is still the number one, and every type of audience is on Facebook. And for me, you know, more people now will go to social media platform to look at somebody and to check out somebody than they will a website. So if you're not on Facebook, to a lot of people, you don't exist. So I think you have to have some kind of consistent visibility on Facebook. And a lot of clients that I work with, it tends to be Instagram as a secondary, as long as their clients or audience is on that platform. And that's just because Instagram is huge at the moment. It's growing rapidly. It's the fastest growing social media platform. And they're just introducing so many new areas within Instagram. You know, like, obviously you've always had the feed, but Instagram stories and IGTV, so many more opportunities to get more visible and in front of that ideal client in different ways. I would recommend always being on Facebook, and then look at your kind of the second focus on social media, dependent on where your audience is.
And so when you talk about being on Facebook, does that mean your personal profile, a business page, a group? What do you think is best?
You always have to have a business page for a business, because, and especially at the minute, Facebook are really clamping down. I've heard of a few pages being or profiles being shut down because people are conducting business on a personal profile. So it's really important to have a business page. It's not to say you can't share some things on your personal profile, but it is very, very important, I think, to have a business page. And it's also really important in your bio on your personal profile to have your links to tell people what you do. The amount of people that I see, and you look at their personal profile and it doesn't tell you anything about them or what their business is or where you can find them. And again, if you're going to show up, you need to be telling people what you do, because if you're not out there and telling people what you do, you know, they're not mind readers. They're not going to know. And they're not going to know how amazing you are if you don't start telling people and shouting it from the rooftop. So it has to definitely be a Facebook page. Facebook groups, as most people would know, are certainly growing. And they're certainly a great way to connect with your audience, because organically, more people will see your Facebook group. And it's a great way to kind of build that know, like, and trust factor. And kind of, you tend to get increased engagement and interaction in a group as well. But you don't have to have a group, but you certainly do have to have a page to get started on Facebook.
Right. And how do you feel about people in video?
Love video. Absolutely huge. I forget the actual stats, but something like 80% of all online content by 2020 is going to be video. So if you're not using video
really
already.
Really that much, eh?
Yeah, I know. I read it the other day and I thought I need to check it out and, you know, clarify, but I didn't. So I'm just going to run with it for now. But, let's just start it. 80%. But yeah, it's huge. And it's the fastest way to build a relationship with your ideal audience, your ideal clients, because it builds that know, like, and trust factor quicker than anything else, I think. And you can get so much more into, you know, a 5-minute video. You can get so much more value and content and show your personality, and you can just share so much more in a video than you can kind of writing. And I think, you know, when you go through your feed, more people stop and interact with videos than they do just plain, boring kind of text posts and so forth. So video is definitely the way to go. But if you're not already tapping into it, then it's a great time to start, because it will only grow and it will only get bigger. So I think the people that are already doing it and utilizing it, you know, we're ahead of that curve, so to speak. So definitely the way to go.
When we talk about, so video has changed a little bit more recently, because more and more people are doing the sort of the transcription piece right below, like within the video. So that means a lot of people are actually watching the video without having the sound on.
Yes.
So do you think it's more important for them to hear your voice or to actually have those words?
Ooh, that's a good question. I personally like to see people and I like to listen. Maybe it's to do with how we learn as well and how we listen, you know, and whether we're in, I'm sat in my office a lot of the day. So for me, having, you know, my headphones in, which they're generally in all day anyway, whilst I'm doing other work and so forth. So for me, I like to listen whilst I'm watching as well. Because I can be doing something else then at the same time. But for a lot of people, I know podcasts are huge. And at the end of the day, podcasts are just like today. You can't actually see somebody, you're just listening. But I don't know, reading takes more time, I think, because you have to concentrate at the same time. So for me, I do like to actually listen as well. But you're right, there is a growing trend in, you know, seeing the transcript so you can read as you go. So I think that's just one to watch.
Yeah, I just think, because I just know that, you know, there's something about audio, like in hearing a person's voice that is really connecting.
I agree. I do, definitely. And I certainly resonate with that. And again, we're all different in the way we learn and that, you know, what we enjoy, I guess. But I agree. I do like to hear people and their voice. I do feel I can connect more. And there's a growing trend for audiobooks as well, which, you know, would back that up, I guess, especially when they're narrated by the actual writer, by the author. So, yeah, I agree.
For those people who are terrified of doing video, what would you say to them? Are there like a couple of tips we can throw at them to help them get past that?
Do you know, and it seems ridiculous, but my number one tip, and I say this to people all the time, is don't get too hung up on being perfect. You know, for me, I don't want to see polished and pristine and perfect. I want to see real and raw. And if you're having a bad day, come and tell me. If you're having a great day, come and share. I want to see real. And in the online world, there is a tendency to see a lot on our feeds about perfect and six figure this and seven figure this and my life is amazing and you can have that too. And that is absolutely fine. But there's an element of that that is not completely authentic. And people are getting wise to that. And I think the people that shine are the people that actually are the real people, the people that show the ups and downs, ins and outs, the failures, the wins. You know, and say that they haven't got all their ducks in a row constantly, because we're all human at the end of the day. And I think that's what people relate to more. You resonate a hell of a lot more with people that are showing the ins and outs. So for me as well, I never watch videos back. So if I have recorded, I do some interviews on my website like this, but in video format, I will never watch them back, because if I do, I know I'll start to pick holes. I know that I will start looking at how many times I've said or, you know, whatever it is that I've taken my time. So I don't watch them back purposely. And that's worked perfectly fine for me. And a lot of people say, well, how can you improve if you're not watching back? But actually, I think people relate, like I said, to the real me. And if I do say too much, so what? It's not the end of the world. And if that's me, that's me. And that's what people are going to relate to. And that's, you know, your tribe will relate to you at the end of the day. And, you know, warts and all. So for me, it's being perfect. I think people put that obstacle in their way too much to kind of, I have to have my hair done. And, you know, don't get me wrong, we all want to look to a certain extent our best on video. And I completely understand that. But I don't think you have to put too much emphasis in it and stop yourself from going live or from jumping on a video if it's just about appearances and so forth. You know, people relate much more to just you being you, authentically you, than anything else.
Right. Now, I saw on your website, you've got a bunch of these as seen in logos.
Yes.
How, as I know, people are always like, how does that happen? Does that mean they advertised? Does that mean they were interviewed? Does that mean they wrote something? Tell me, how does that happen?
Okay, so back in November last year, I was in a group that I was in, Mums and Business Association, which had grown dramatically. And they were asking for people to share their stories for a book they were putting together. And at the time, I remember ignoring it completely and thinking, oh, no one's going to want to hear my story. And I literally went past it. And I forced myself to go back and put myself forward for it. Long story short, I got chosen to be in the book. And that was the sort of turning point for me to realize that actually any story you have to share is huge. And people do want to hear how you've got to where you're at. You know, you don't have to have the seven-figure kind of success story. Just by doing it daily and running your own business, that in itself is an inspiration to so many people. So that was kind of the starting point for me. And it didn't open up necessarily too many opportunities, but it was a big learning curve for me in itself. And off the back of that, I pushed myself to then go and put an article on Thrive Global, because I felt that I was doing it for the other women in the book. And I don't think I would have necessarily pushed myself to do it just for myself. And I would have thought, you know, I'm not a naturally gifted writer. And I wouldn't have put myself forward, I don't think, with a blog post or an article if it was just for my own benefit to start with. But because I was doing it for the other women in the group as well that were in the book, that because it was 20 of us all together that appeared in this book, I felt like I was helping other people. So that was a starting point for me in getting published on Thrive Global. And then since then, I've published a few other articles. So that was a biggie for me. That was huge. And then since then, I've just looked for any opportunity that came my way. And I know the opportunities were always there. And I think I'd be lying to myself if I said they weren't. It was just that I wasn't in the place to put myself forward. So literally by putting myself forward and being confident with it and, you know, acknowledging that I have got something to share and that I have got value that people want to listen to or learn about, whatever it is you're talking about, and actually going and looking for those opportunities, whether that's in groups, you know, there's always people looking for people to feature. Put yourself out there, you know, start putting it on your Facebook page that you're looking for opportunities to collaborate or feature on podcasts or summits or guest experts. If you've got skills that you know you can help people with, then there's going to be someone else out there looking for those skills to share with others. So it literally was looking for the opportunities and putting myself forward for every opportunity that came my way. And if people were asking, you know, is there any guest experts? What can you talk to my audience about? If we shared a similar audience, I would simply put myself forward. And actually, I found that a lot of people were more than happy to have me because they're always looking for content. And if you've got something to share with their audience, it's great. You know, I know when I've looked for people to interview, it's fantastic if people come to me and ask because it's easier. I haven't got to go out and look for people. So if, you know, you're reading blog posts and so forth and you see that they feature people, go and ask them, can I feature? How do I go about getting a feature on your podcast? If you listen to podcasts, go and ask somebody, can I feature? And most will have a page, you know, where you can actually apply or an application form or so forth. And literally just start getting yourself out there. Look for the opportunities. If you're honest with yourself, you know, if you've seen the opportunity, how many times have you scrolled past them and not put yourself forward because you thought you might not be good enough, you might not be an expert enough, and you've probably held yourself back with a negative self-talk. So instead of doing that, just be confident and put yourself out there. And also networking events, you know, they're always looking for guest speakers at networking events. So all these types of things, I mean, some of them fell into my lap. And the more I've done, the more I've been approached to do more. So I think it's kind of a catalyst as well. When you start putting yourself out there for these types of things, more will come your way.
It's like it's the universe is paying attention to what you're saying, right?
I think, yeah, definitely. And I must admit, I remember I was in a mindset course last year. I think it was December. Was it late? Anyway, whenever it was. And I said to somebody, you know, one of my most deep-rooted desires, I'd love to be kind of featured on more places and to be speaking to people. And at the time, I just thought it was like the 5-year plan. I was nowhere near that. And I kid you not, the minute I said it, I went on my Facebook feed and there was two opportunities that just were there. And I was like, okay. and you know, yeah, the minute you do open yourself up to these opportunities, I think you do start seeing them. And I think, you know, in groups, like Carrie Green's Female Entrepreneur Association and so forth, you quite often find people are looking for people to feature. So go looking for those opportunities and be open to putting yourself up for them.
Right.
When you see them.
That's amazing. And so what, if you could give our audience three things they could implement right away, what would those three things be?
Reaching out to people to collaborate, because there's plenty of people even already in your network that you are Facebook friends with that are in other groups. Start asking for people to collaborate, because you can also utilize and leverage other people's audiences by doing that. It's not just your audience. You know, you could have a small audience, but if someone else has got bigger audiences and they're interested in hearing what you have to say, reach out and ask them. So ask for the opportunities and reach out to people to collaborate. Utilizing the social media platforms that are available and utilizing them to their best ability. For instance, you know, on Instagram, there are these different kind of ways of utilizing the different features that, you know, have cropped up in the last few months. So Instagram TV is really kind of new. So get in there now and utilize. It's a great way actually to get into video because they're pre-recorded. You don't have to go live for Instagram TV. They are pre-recorded. So it's a lot easier to do pre-recorded than live for a lot of people. So start using that. And, you know, if you want to start on the process of getting in front of other audiences, Thrive Global is a great place to start because you can just go and apply for an account, or I forget how you even do it now, but I think you literally just put an article across, and on the whole, a lot of them will get accepted. And all of a sudden, you know, you're a published author on, or a published featured writer on Thrive Global, which right. is huge in itself, you know. So there's absolutely nothing stopping you doing that today. And just going and looking at which podcast do you listen to? What blogs do you read? Which online magazines do you read? Make a list of those and start reaching out to a couple of people. A lot of them will be looking for someone just like you, you know, to go and feature. So,
okay. So Katie, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you so much. I know you're busy. I know that it's probably 2:30 there now for you. Yep. And I know you're going away this weekend, so you have a lot you're trying to get done. So thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you.
No, it's been fab to be here. Lovely speaking to you, Amanda.
Yeah, that's amazing. So tell me though, where can people find you?
KatieKalellaSocial.co.uk is the website. Facebook is Katie Kalella Social, and Instagram is Katie_Kalella_social. So pretty easy. I'm on pretty much most of the platforms, but Facebook and Instagram are my main two. So that's where you're best to try and reach out to me.
Amazing. And is there anything right now, a product or a freebie, anything like that, that you want our audiences to know about?
Yeah, sure. There's a really popular freebie at the moment I've got that is a sales funnel masterclass. So for those of you that looking to utilize sales funnels to become more visible, increase your following, get in front of more clients and sales and so forth, if you go to bit.ly/s-funnel, you can go and sign up for the freebie. And it's not too long. I think it's about half hour, 40 minutes masterclass, giving you the lowdown for basics and beginners to tell you exactly what a sales funnel is and how it can help you and what you need to consider when you're setting up a sales funnel.
Amazing. And don't worry, we're going to include all those links in the show notes.
Fabulous.
It's super easy for people to find them. Well, that's great. Thank you so much. And you can get on with your day. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Lovely to speak to you.
There was so much good stuff in there. Am I right? Or am I right? She has so much knowledge and a brilliant business background. I mean, it was fantastic. I was just loving our conversation. So I loved learning from her. If you want to connect with Katie, head over to katiekalellasocial.co.uk or find her on Facebook and Instagram. All of those links are in the show notes. You can just hit that link and head over there and connect with her. So pushing out great content is super tough. Am I right? I feel like I'm doing the am I right thing a lot in this episode. My bad. My apologies, y'all. But it really can be super difficult to constantly come up with new ideas all the time. So what I do is I try to get ahead of the game. So I like load up on ideas. I have pages and pages and pages of ideas everywhere. I have like lists upon lists of ideas so that I just kind of dig in, grab something, go, yeah, this one feels good. I'm going to run with it, right? Sometimes something pops up right away and you're like, I need to do this one. But it's those moments when you're struggling, like, damn, I got to get content out, because you have to get content out, right? You must get content out regularly, consistently, all the time. We just heard that with Katie. We're doing it all the time. We believe in that. So we have to push out content on a very regular schedule. So sometimes it can be tough to figure out what the hell you're going to talk about. It can be very confusing, can be hard to figure it out. Where are you going to get ideas from? So before anything, you need to know who you're talking to so that you can really zero in on the topics that will relate to them. Once you know that, then you can figure out what you're going to talk about. So here are three ways you can do that. One is, of course, search Google, but not just search Google. I mean, search Google for people like you. So I want you to actually search for your competitors, and maybe not your direct competitors. Maybe they're, you know, I often search because I'm in Canada. I'll like specifically search, you know, web designers, brand developers, you know, those are sort of some of the keywords that I look at. And I look at those and I'll even put in, you know, San Francisco, New York, London, right? Like I put in actual locations. So it's not, they're not local competitors for me. It's like sort of out there in the world, just because I want to get because I'm in an online business as well. I like sort of an international view of things.
And so all of these websites will pop up that are very similar to what you're doing. So now go into those websites and I just do the open, like I right click, open in new tab, right click, open in new tab. So I end up with all these tabs across my screen, which is awesome. And I just kind of go bam, 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 bam. And I go through them all and I zip in. And all I do, all I'm looking is at are, what are they blogging about? What articles are they saying? I don't actually click on any of their actual blogs themselves because I don't really care about what their content is because I have my own knowledge around those topics. I just want to get topic ideas. So like I'll look and just see, oh, that's a cool one. That's interesting. You know, I just start writing them down. I don't take verbatim what they say. I just take the idea of what it is because I'm going to write it in my own way and I'm going to do the video in my own way or whatever. And then I just end up, and then like with so many of those, and I end up with even more because they ignite more ideas in me, right? So I'm coming up with more ideas, right? So that's definitely one way. Another way is to head over to Udemy or Udemy, depending on who you are and how you say it. So udemy.com and hunt out a couple of courses that would be similar to what you would build as a course. Like if you were going to make a course, what would you build it on? And then look for courses that are similar to that. And then look at their topics within the courses to see if there's anything that sparks interest in you and pull those in, write those babies down. I get tons of ideas from that because I'm like, especially if people are paying for that, I'm like, wow, people are really interested in this type of content. So, and if it's interesting for me and I like talking about it, then it's a good fit. So I'm going to pull some of that into my list. Then the other and final, number three, would be what are people asking in Facebook group, LinkedIn groups, things like that. So get involved in groups where your audience is and see what they're asking. And you can even post your own question out there. You know, ask them like, what was the last thing you searched in Google about X, Y, and Z? Or what was the last thing you struggled with an answer for? Like, and who did you go to and what were you talking about? So that you can kind of hear what they're actually struggling with. You can find out what they were actually searching for, what answers they're desperately looking for. And that's more content for you, right? And those are real factual things. So, or even go into the Facebook group and you can always search the group, search for your keywords, search in there when people are looking up. Like if you are, you write content for people, or like Katie is visibility, you know, search in there. You're not going to necessarily search for visibility because that's not necessarily a word that people are going to use in a way that they're asking questions, but they might say, how do I get seen, or how do I get noticed on Facebook? How do I build a Facebook group or whatever, right? So you're going to type in keywords. You're going to type in Facebook group. You're going to type in web designer. You're going to type in PR, press release, right? Things like that are going to bring up all of the people that have, like all those people that have said those specific words, and you can read what they're asking, what comments they're getting, and you'll get more ideas from there. So write as many ideas as you can down and then stop. Don't do anything with it. I need you to walk away. Okay, walk away, sleep on it, go for a walk, let those ideas kick around for a bit, let them just roll around in that brain of yours, and you will come back and you will have more ideas to add to that, or you'll come up with a aha moment. You're like, this is a fantastic content that I must do immediately. So let those ideas roll around a bit more, write down more ideas as you come up with them, and then bam, look at that list. You probably have so many ideas that you're not going to struggle for months to come, right? Yes, guys, we do talk about stuff like this in my Facebook group, which you will love. Please come over. I would love to have you. I'm excited to grow it and have more amazing minds in there that can help one another and share their knowledge and connect. It's super cool. It's awesome. Remember, it is B-Snaps. B-Snaps, the Facebook group. Otherwise, subscribe to this podcast. Leave me a review. Ask me some questions. Connect with me on LinkedIn or anywhere else, on Facebook, of course. And that is it, guys. That is it for this episode. Have a kick-ass day.